We were not able to look as rigorously at non-executive compensation. Such data is not available in as systematic a format as proxy statements for top officers. Nonetheless, evidence from source documents and articles suggests that the same idea applies at all levels of an organization. A particularly vivid example is Nucor. Nucor built its entire system on the idea that you can teach farmers how to make steel, but you can't teach a farmer work ethic to people who don't have it in the first place. So, instead of setting up mills in traditional steel towns like Pittsburgh and Gary, it located its plants in places like Crawfordsville, Indiana, Norfolk, Nebraska, and Plymouth, Utah, places full of real farmers who go to bed early, rise at dawn, and get right to work without fanfare. Gotta milk the cows, and gonna plow the North 40 before noon, translated easily into, gotta roll some sheet steel, and gonna cast 40 tons before lunch. Nucor ejected people who did not share this work ethic, generating as high as 50% turnover in the first year of a plant, followed by very low turnover as the right people settled in for the long haul. To attract and keep the best workers, Nucor paid its steel workers more than any other steel company in the world. But it built its pay system around a high-pressure team bonus mechanism, with over 50% of a worker's compensation tied directly to the productivity of his work team of 20 to 40 people. Nucor team members would usually show up for work 30 minutes early to arrange their tools and prepare to blast off the starting line the instant the shift gun fired. "We have the hardest working steel workers in the world," said one Nucor executive. "We hire 5, work them like 10, and pay them like 8. The Nucor system did not aim to turn lazy people into hard workers, but to create an environment where hardworking people would thrive and lazy workers would either jump or get thrown right off the bus. In one extreme case, workers chased a lazy teammate right out of the plant with an angle iron. Nucor rejected the old adage that people are your most important asset. In a good-to-great transformation, people are not your most important asset. The right people are. Nucor illustrates a key point. In determining the right people, the good-to-great companies placed greater weight on character attributes than on specific educational background, practical skills, specialized knowledge, or work experience. Not that specific knowledge or skills are unimportant, but they view these traits as more teachable, or at least learnable, whereas they believe dimensions like character, work ethic, basic intelligence, dedication to fulfilling commitments, and values are more ingrained. As Dave Nassif of Pitney Bowes put it, "I used to be in the Marines, and the Marines got a lot of credit for building people's values. But that's not the way it really works. The Marine Corps recruits people who share the Corps' values, then provides them with the training required to accomplish the organization's mission. We look at it the same way at Pitney Bowes. We have more people who want to do the right thing than most companies. We don't just look at experience. We want to know, who are they? Why are they? We find out who they are by asking them why they made decisions in their life. The answers to these questions give us insight into their core values." One good-to-great executive said that his best hiring decisions often came from people with no industry or business experience. In one case, he hired a manager who'd been captured twice during the Second World War and escaped both times. "I thought that anyone who could do that shouldn't have trouble with business."